right, guys, welcome back to another Crypto Rundown. And I know that didn't sound familiar. I tried my best Brendan impression there, but this is TiVo, and I will be hosting the Crypto Rundown today. It is my first, but I won't be by myself. Brendan is out. He's doing some very important stuff on the back end for us today, and he will be back as soon as possible next week to be breaking down the charts with us once again. But in his place, we have the incomparable, the amazing, from our own analyst team over at NFT Nation, Brian McNutt. Brian, thanks for taking the time and stepping in on such a really great day for the Rundown. We have a lot to talk about and a lot going on.
Hey, man, appreciate the call. I'll tell you what, getting caught up to the big leagues into the Rundown is something I've been dreaming about over the past few days. So couldn't be happier to be here with everyone, talking all things I love, Bitcoin, talking a little ETFs, got a full day of news here. So just excited to be on here with the group.
Absolutely. We're getting into the season of playoff baseball, and it was a true call to the bullpen. Thank you for coming on. But don't worry, because we didn't get left empty-handed. Brendan sent over some charts. So let's just dive right into what we saw this week. So we had a pretty big bump in Bitcoin the other day. We kind of topped out around going up about 5%. This is the day before the Fed meeting. People seemed pretty excited on a rally. And what Brendan circled for us is we kind of zooming in here on the one-day chart was we bounced off the 20-day moving average there, kind of that basic level support of the range that we've been bouncing around. And we popped up and just absolutely kissed. You can see the circle there. We kissed the 100-day moving average. And that was yesterday's price action. And then if I just pull up another chart, basically just zooming out, as you guys have known, if you've been here for the last couple, I'd say weeks, Brian, it honestly has been months. This is our range. And so, you know, it's tried and true within the range. You love to see the positive bounce. And yeah, again, kissing that moving average there, which is always, you know, going to be a little bit of resistance. And then if you break that, maybe you get up toward the upper ends of the range. Always a possibility. I think if you've watched these shows over the last, weeks and months, we haven't made any too crazy calls about breaking out of this range. I know Brendan's done a really great job of kind of calling and playing the range from week to week. But, we're going to dive into this later. There's the Federal Reserve meeting this week. We're going to be getting the answers around that. By the time you're listening to this, it will already have come out, but we're going to cover that in a second. And then also on top of that, like we've talked elections and macroeconomics, so like we don't really see anything too crazy about breaking out of this range right now in the immediate place. But hey, that's a pretty big range to be playing in the price action. So if we jump out of the charts and we start to look in some positive information across the space some more, we have the Bitcoin ETFs. And Brian sent this over. Something that he saw was that over the last 4 days, we've actually had positive inflows on the Bitcoin ETF. So we've kind of showed you those from the block. Here's a chart as well of just kind of seeing like, hey, you know, the flows definitely haven't been as crazy as they were maybe around, like, if I pull up this chart, I think it's more volumes. We'll share that in 1 second here. There we go. Here's some volume charts. And then so obviously when, you know, in March when we had hit the top of our now range, that's where we saw the most volume. So we're looking to hopefully grow that volume in a good way over the next couple months when we see the prices start going up again. But for now, we're kind of in the same average range for the volumes, but we flipped the script on outflows. We're back into inflows. And, you know, I think the bears are getting tired. I've heard another analyst of ours, Matt, talk about, you know, in our coaching calls, which are always available. If you're enjoying this stuff here at the Crypto Rundown, please scroll down, check the links below for the more stuff that we do have inside of our community. You get more of Matt, more of Brendan, more of Brian, and that's where you get the truly, you know, everyday type of data, everyday type of personal calls and technical analysis and all things crypto and the markets. But Brian, kind of after the last couple of days or this week, you know, some good price action. I know I sent something in the group chat. You know, let's make a little noise in here. Let's get the bulls on parade. But, you know, what are you seeing in the markets? What are you seeing in the price action and overall, how are you feeling? Have you ever wanted to trade Bitcoin but haven't dared tried? With Plus 500 Futures, you can trade crypto without the hassle of opening a wallet. With just a few clicks, you can register and start practicing with their free and unlimited demo. See a trading opportunity? You'll be able to trade in just 2 clicks. Feel ready? You can move to real money with as little as $100 once your account is approved. And the great thing is that in addition to crypto, Plus 500 gives you access to a wide range of instruments like the S&P 500, NASDAQ, gas, and much more. Explore equity indices like energy, metals, Forex, and beyond. With a simple and intuitive platform, you can trade anytime, anywhere. Experience the fast, accessible futures trading you've been waiting for with Plus 500. With over 20 years of experience, Plus 500 is your gateway to the markets. Visit us.plus500.com to learn more. Trading in futures involves risk of loss and is not suitable for everyone. Not all applicants will qualify, and this is not personal financial advice. Plus 500, it's trading with a plus.
Yeah, you guys nailed it. And I've been saying this kind of within our private community as well, that we were getting chopped for a while. We were getting chopped through summer, and we have a very interesting year. And it's election year. We're talking recession 1 minute, recession not happening. We're talking rate cuts. So, of course, it being with summer, Bitcoin and these macros are going to chop. Some things that are really positive out there. We're seeing positive inflows into ETFs. We want to see positive numbers. I think yesterday was like $140, $150 million of positive inflows into Bitcoin. It's still a tremendous amount of money within the United States flowing into Bitcoin. We're going to talk a little bit more in the show here about how important these rate cuts are going to be for Bitcoin in the macro market. But really what we're preparing for and what I personally have been preaching is this is a perfect time to get exposure to the macros and a lot of different coins within your portfolio throughout the summer going into September here. Because if everyone knows, if you've been around the crypto market for a while, we talk about October. I mean, crypto seems to surge up in October. And personally, I'm kind of feeling that same vibe happening because we have this very close presidential election in November. And I think no matter where the polls are showing, we're going to see a nice grind in the macro through October up until the election. And we can kind of talk about my further thoughts of what's going to happen after the election. But I do think things are going to be very positive over the next couple months and excited. We have a big news day here with the rate cuts. And I think that's going to have a positive impact on the macro market as well.
Yeah, good point to always remember people about October when we had our first episode of September. 2 weeks ago, we brought up that chart where it showed, hey, historically over the last 10 years, you know, September has been the worst month of price action. But never fear because, you know, October is one of the best ones. So we covered that. We saw our early September dip literally after we aired that episode. And then, yeah, nice to see a nice little reversal here. And again, the macro markets as a whole are reversing in not even in hopes, looking forward to the rate cut. And the rate cut has already happened. By the time that you know you're listening to this, you can go find out how many bips did Jerome Powell cut. And the thought was we should wait. We should wait to see what you know what the decision is. And kind of the more we discussed about it and the more kind of data we looked about it, it truly doesn't matter. Because he's either going to go 25 bips or 50. That's the move. Anything higher than that would be shocking and probably signal something bad. But nobody's betting on that. The markets aren't betting on that. 25 to 50 is seems to be the consensus. And again, it's more of a whatever he decides is showing us that we're in a rate cutting cycle. And it doesn't matter whether it's 25 or 50. Now that we're heading into this rate cutting cycle, markets are going to start to forward look at now the data, knowing that we're in a cutting cycle. So when we were talking in the spring and the summer, you know, there were so many calls for Jerome Powell to start cutting rates. And there were arguments on both sides, whether he should or shouldn't. But for a long time, it's like, hey, you know, we're in restrictive territory. We're in restrictive territory. We need to cut. We need to cut. And we were all looking forward to that. And then now that we're here, it's showing us that we've entered, truly entered a new phase into the business cycle. And so now that we're cutting, a lot of people, at least if you're an average person, which I am definitely an average person when it comes to social media, and you're just scrolling on social media, the average person might think, hey, now that we're cutting, prices are going to rocket. No matter what, it doesn't matter. It's a don't fight the Fed mentality. Like, I think you do need to go and really deep dive into the analytics around what a rate cutting cycle means. And so I thought this was a great chart to share with you guys. And so, like I said, since we're heading into a rate cycle, now we know what to look for. So now the economic data is that much more important because as we start to cut, are we cutting just to ease interest rates and let the money flow with a healthy economy? Or is there something that we can't see and the Fed can't see either because it's the economic data is lagging data. So is there something that nobody sees right now that's going to come you know, into the forefront in 2 months, 3 months, 4 months, 6 months. And that's going to put, you know, the economy more on a rocky situation, possibly a recession. Nobody knows right now. But here's the stats. So stocks usually fall 15% within 12 months following the first rate cut if there is a recession. 15 months down in the 12 months following first cut if there is a recession. If there is no recession, stocks rise by 10. The key caveat that we will know of the recession in a few months after the cut. So this tweet just summarized my 2 minute ramble before that. And this is, I think this chart is really something for somebody like myself as a pure simpleton to kind of see and okay, we are now in this cycle. We now know what we're looking for. So, you know, that's what the market is, right? At least short term. It's place your bets here, place your bets there, see where things fall. But I can't stress enough that I think you know where the puck is going, right? We're in now the cutting cycle, but we need to stay vigilant, keep reading the data. And Brian, I have two questions for you. One, I just would like to know your thoughts, and then I'll follow it up with a second question around specifically Bitcoin. But let me hand it over to you to just say, hey, you know, how do you think about Fed Day? What are you looking for? And what are your thoughts?
Yeah, Fed Day is always an exciting day. It's interesting because we all become experts on federal interest rates. If we're going to be going into a recession, are we not going into a recession? Really, the long story short is we haven't seen a rate cut for 4.5 years. It is better to be cutting rates right now with our current economic situation than increasing rates or even staying flat. I agree. Senator Warren, I think, was calling like a 75 bips. If we saw that come out today, people would freak out. We would all probably, you know, the stock market would react in a very negative fashion just because that's such an impulse reaction. But I agree. It's going to be 25, or if you're looking at poly market right now, like I do for some of my news, we have a 51% chance for 50 bips. So we're going to see either 25 or 50. Long story short, when you get a rate cut, global liquidity is going to increase. And that's just what's going to happen. And lower rates on yield means simply holding cash and or at treasuries, they're going to go down. And that's going to lead investors to further push out more into risk curve or slightly risky assets or different assets at the end of the day. And some traditional investors look at Bitcoin as a riskier asset. I don't, because you know, I could take an hour on the rundown of exactly why I love Bitcoin. I think it's digital gold. It's the future. But there's going to see a natural movement into the macro. So I'm bullish on any sort of rate cut right now. I think 25 to 50 is the sweet spot. That's why we're seeing a lot of people call that out. And I'm not sure what it's going to look like long-term or short-term. There's a lot of arguments out there short-term. We could still chop for a little while, which is fine. Great time to dollar cost average in, but I do believe long term, because this is just the beginning of rate cut season. This is going to be just the beginning of more global liquidity. And this is going to be, we know what happens when global liquidity hits, it goes into assets just like the cryptocurrency market. So I'm bullish long term for these rate cuts. And I'm personally, I mean, I work for a crypto company. I'm very bullish on crypto long term. And I think it's the future. And this is just the start of it.
Yeah, so then I think an interesting question, and again, nobody truly has the answer right now, but it's that question of the correlation between Bitcoin and the traditional markets, right? So when everything's flying high and Bitcoin, the NASDAQ, and the S&P are all flying high together, it's like, oh, they're correlated. But I remember, you know, we've been doing this show for a while now, and there was a point where Bitcoin was kind of the beginning of this last run last year. You know, the markets were pretty steady and even down a little bit over, you know, 6 to 8 weeks. And Bitcoin had a 15-20% run. And we're like, ooh, it's not correlated. So I think, you know, if there's no recession and global liquidity is up, I think all like that chart that we showed earlier, everything's up. Stock market's going to be up. S&P is going to be up. NASDAQ's going to be up. Bitcoin's going to be up. Crypto's going to be up. I think the interesting question, let's not get political, because we've gotten really political sometimes on this shows recently, because it's all you can really talk about, is, so I think maybe that depends on the election a little bit, but what would happen if, let's see, we start to see some cracks come, let's call it November, heading into I think that's the worst time to see cracks, right? Because everybody's kind of, you know, especially in the traditional markets, hoping on that end of year slash beginning of year planning on spending in CapEx, and the retail sector is relying on that huge push for the holiday shopping. So if we start to see cracks in November, and the Fed, you know, shows a little sign of maybe a little bit of a panic, you know, do all markets go down? Does gold go up? Is Bitcoin going to stay kind of more with gold, or is it going to be more with the traditional markets? Is it a flight to safety, or are we not quite there yet because maybe we have so many new participants with the ETF? And so a panic is going to be a panic across the board. Wanted to get your thoughts on that. Again, I don't think there's a right answer as of today, but, you know, just want to pose that question your way.
I feel pretty good about my answer, not going to lie. No, I do think if we see a crack, like you say, there's going to be a knee-jerk reaction and market's going to go down because we are humans, and humans and are reactionary, and we're going to see, and we instantly will think bad news and we'll start selling off assets, no matter what gold blue chip standard stock it is or if it's Bitcoin. But I do believe that's all gonna kind of, the dust will settle, and then we're gonna see what Bitcoin always does and really what gold does as well. I mean, they're kind of correlated in my eyes in some form or fashion because of the investor that we're seeking. It's gonna slowly grind up no matter really what's happening on the back end. There's an argument there if we go into recession, there's a flight to safety with Bitcoin. There's a flight to safety there with precious metals. I really believe in Bitcoin in that world, but we'll have a very reactionary period where people will kind of freak out and we're going to get a sell-off. The person who's going to be there gobbling up that sell-off is a guy like me. I'm fundamentally so interested and so in deep with the macro cryptocurrency market, Bitcoin especially, that I think if there is a little bit of a pullback, that's a perfect time to kind of dollar cost average in, because I believe long term, it's just going to continue to grind up no matter what's happening on the back end, recession or not. And that's really a strong opinion I have, that I do think if we see some cracks, we'll see a knee-jerk reaction, we'll see a correction. Like, we're immune to this in the crypto world. Like, 10% down, 20% down, I mean, that's just like another Tuesday for us. I mean, there's been times when it's a 70% correction. I'm like, this looks like a good time to buy. But as we bring more people into the macro, into Bitcoin world, they're going to understand that more. And that volatility is going to shrink over time because we're seeing inflows with the Bitcoin ETFs. And that volatility of major swings are just going to shrink over time. But that's kind of my position. If we see a crack, what will happen? But long term, I think it's we should be bullish.
I'll tell you somebody who agrees with you, and his name is Michael Saylor. And we've I think it was actually last week's episode, we played his CNBC interview where he said a lot of the same points that you just made, specifically around the volatility over time. But, you know, reactionary dips happen all the time in Bitcoin because it is 24/7 sound money. You know, if there's a huge event and news breaks on Saturday, you can't sell your Apple, Microsoft, and Nvidia. You can't, as an average person. What you can sell is your Bitcoin, and that's what leads to those, you know, I don't even want to call it a flash crash, but that volatility is just kind of baked into the protocol because it is available 24/7. But heading in the week before Fed rate cuts, Michael Saylor again is raising money. I don't wonder what he's raising money for, Brian. He's announced a private offering of $700 million of convertible notes for MicroStrategy. And what do you think he's going to do with that money?
Buy Bitcoin. my guy is the ultimate Giga Chad with buying Bitcoin. He's inspiring to anybody that loves Bitcoin. Just listening to Michael Saylor on those CNBC interviews, I'm just like, preach. And you almost feel like it's blind faith, but he's done pretty well for himself with that, with those blind faith calls.
Unbelievable. So this week, MicroStrategy has acquired 18,300 Bitcoin for $1.11 billion, average price $60,408 per Bitcoin. They hodl 244,800 Bitcoin, average price of $38,585. So you know, he goes out and buys that. And then, like I showed you the slide before, he's like, hey, we're raising even more money. So he buys Bitcoin, raises more money to go buy more Bitcoin. This guy is second to none. So, you know, after all that discussion of, you know, what's going to happen this week, where's price going to go after the Fed rate cuts? Is there going to be a recession? Is the price going to go up? Is it going to go down? You know, here again, we like to, at this show and this company and this program, is, again, a zoom out, long-term view of, this is where we think the future of finance is going. This is where we think the future of money is going. And that is, you know, while we don't have $1.1 billion to go buy Bitcoin on a Tuesday, you know, we are long-term bullish. And, you know, that's kind of the sentiment, is that, you know, there's going to be a lot of things that happen from now till the end of this year and into next year. And don't get caught up in the emotions of investing. And again, never financial advice or personal financial advice. You have to make your own decisions. And, you know, if you have your own personal financial advisor, definitely have that conversation with them, because that's not what we are here for. We are here for education and entertainment purposes only. But long term, you know, it seems to be the play for Michael Saylor and many others, like we showed you with the ETF flows and BlackRock and Fidelity. And it's something that has really grown. I think it'll be really cool to do our end of year episode. Every year, I'm not sure if you're on it last year, Brian, or not, but every year I try to get the analyst team together. So it was like Brendan, Brian, maybe invite Pizza Mind back, Bryce, and we'll bring you on this year for that, is kind of just do a year in review. And I think, you know, heading into the last quarter of the year, you got to start thinking of, like, wow, you know, what a year, and what a momentous year for Bitcoin as a whole in the traditional market sector, just for, you know, the ETFs in general, Bitcoin and Ethereum. So with that said, we're going to kind of put a pin in that. So we know what happened with the Fed. You know where we stand on it. We gave you the information that you need to kind of just digest it. Don't make any emotional decisions and keep chugging on to the next week, the next decision, the next investment. But we're going to transition here. It's a hard transition to talk about some just in the news things around the crypto world. That's what we're going to talk about next. And then stay tuned to end this. Brian's actually going to give you one of his top altcoin picks and kind of deep dive on it for you in the altcoin corner segment that I deemed it. But first, this week, Donald Trump launches World Liberty Financial. And before I break down the numbers that I got around what that is, Brian, could you just help our audience understand, if they've never heard of it, what is World Liberty Financial?
Yeah, I mean, it's exactly what you said. Good old Donald Trump is back in the crypto world again. And this is another reason why we're talking about, like, Bitcoin is a long-term asset and cryptocurrency. We literally have a possible future president of the United States and a past president coming out with an actual crypto project. Like you said, it's World Liberty Financial. It has a lot of DeFi aspects to it. He just hosted a space on this past Monday, whenever this is being aired, and talked about it at length, and talked a lot about how he wants to take the best in DeFi and bring it to everyday users. He wants to focus on stable coins and yield, and he really wants to onboard the masses to utilizing simple products. So all the benefits that we see in DeFi and utilizing and leveraging stable coins and earning these insane amounts of yield that we talk about all the time with people. Maybe you talk with your dad at home about, like, hey, I'm investing or I'm leveraging this crypto for this yield. That's exactly what World Liberty Financial is going to be. It's going to be, in some form or fashion, some sort of DeFi platform. Now, there's some interesting things about it. We have Donald Trump is by no means this absolute crypto expert, but really in that interview, he's talked a lot about how his personal advisors and, of course, his sons, Don Jr., Eric Trump, Barron's even in there, how they're all going to be involved in this project in some form or fashion. I believe he said that Don Jr. and Eric are going to be Web3 advisors and Barron's going to be the DeFi visionary of World Liberty Financial. Even if they don't have a ton of experience in this lane, listening to that spaces, they kind of talk the talk. I was very interested to hear what they had to say, what World Liberty Financial would be. And they hit a lot of interesting talking points about utilizing DeFi, leveraging stable coins. And they're also going to have a token called WLFI, obviously stands for World Liberty Financial. And that token is going to be essentially a governance token. But again, it's a complete package by the Trump team and possible with Trump administration. And it's bullish overall when you see, you know, one of the most popular families in the United States and with the political ties they have launching their own crypto project.
Yeah, and so let's break down how that token will be distributed. So 20% of the project's tokens will be allotting to the founding members. So that's the Trump family, and I'm sure they have a lot of other people on the team as well that will get that 20%. 17% are set aside for user rewards, and the 63% that remain will be available for the public to purchase when this thing launches. And again, we're not bringing this up to shill it. I actually would like to shout out that we actually had a comment one time. Somebody was saying that we were shilling Donald Trump NFTs. And I specifically remember that conversation. We were not shilling it. We were just talking about it because it was in the news. It's in the crypto news. And I understand that politics can be polarizing. We are in no means, you know, telling people to go buy these things. You know, we might have a personal opinion on a gamble of whether, you know, an NFT might go up or go down. But that's not what we're here to do, is to shill projects. We never give personal financial advice on the show. But I think kind of what you said is he is a presidential candidate, and it is interesting. And I'll even take the other side of the coin on the argument of, like, you love to see it because it's people wanting to get involved, which is great. I just don't know if the timing, for me personally, again, as an opinionated take, is like the timing just seems a little, you know, I guess you got to do it before you win too, because if you win and then announce it, that's another bad look. Like, it almost seems like maybe, you know, if Eric and Don wanted to do it, and then, you know, Eric, the sons wanted to do it, and Donnie T is maybe, like, you know, an advisor off to the side. The fact that he was announcing it was an interesting look, and I definitely saw, you know, in the Twitter sphere of crypto, that obviously there's a lot of people excited about it, and some people, you know, weren't as excited, especially because if they launch it, you know, at any point and things go wrong, you know, that's a really, really, really bad look. But, you know, it is great to see the excitement and the involvement. You just got to hope that they do it the right way.
You absolutely nailed it, TiVo. I had a conversation with one of our analysts about this yesterday. I was like, this World Liberty Financial is interesting. We definitely got to keep our eyes on it. Again, not a shill by any right. means. It's just a very interesting project, and it's going to command a ton of attention. And with attention and volatility, there's always opportunity. So we're going to, it's what we do. We dive deep.
And I gave you my descending take of why maybe I'm a little hesitant of it. But let me give you the other side of my brain, is like, we go nuts in this space and talk about memes with cats and dogs, and they're wearing hats and cartoons and Wen Moon and like these meme coins that have billions of dollars of market cap and do absolutely nothing. This is a real live person who you could make an argument might be the most famous real life meme in the history of our culture. And he's launching a project that wants to have real utility. So that's a thought as well that kind of just popped into my head, is all these meme coins that people shill and buy, and you want to be a part of this because of the community. What does it do? Nothing, but it has a hat. You know, this person is literally one of the historic internet culture memes of our lifetime, but he's a real person and he's launching a real project. So it's just something that you have to watch. You don't have to want to be involved with it with one penny of your own money, but it's something, if you're interested in the space, that you need to take note of.
Yeah, I'm just going to end my thought on this subject here is, you were right. The timing seems awful. In my personal opinion, I would love to just like sit with the Trump team and be like, you guys possibly have 80 to 90% of the crypto vote because your side seems to be supporting the crypto side. Again, not making this political, but that's just kind of what the numbers show, that a lot of people within the cryptocurrency industry are supporting the Trump administration because there's going to be positive movements, he's been saying, more than the other administration. So it's really interesting to me. I was just talking about this with one of our analysts yesterday, is, man, it just seems like poor timing, because if something bad happens with this project, which could always happen, we are living in the crypto world, on-chain world, there's everyone's kind of working things out. If something bad happens, it could really, you know, turn off a lot of people and hurt his vote. So I guess my only hope is that this is a really well thought out product, really well thought out team. And if they're launching it before the election, they better have that sucker buttoned up, because I would imagine every hacker in their life is going to be going after that project as well to exploit it. So there's a lot of interesting things. I think the timing could be a little bit better, but hey, if you have a good product and you're bringing real-world utility and you have a platform like they have at one of the biggest times ever, go for it. I'm going to be breaking it down. I'm going to make my own personal decision on it. I'm not bullish or bearish on it either way, but it's absolutely been captivating across our world of crypto right now.
All great points, man. Great way to wrap it up. My final thought on the political topic is I actually need to get a jar. And anytime I say not to be political, but I have to put a dollar in there through the rest of the year, and we'll probably raise a couple hundred dollars because we seem to say that every time on the show. Last topic here, Altcoin Corner with Brian. Producer TiVo has created a new segment with our new guest, Altcoin Corner. So the whole point of Brian's super awesome skill set on our team is around NFTs, but also in the crypto space, kind of deep diving. And, you know, everybody loves to kind of find those one-off altcoins that, you know, are primed for a big pump or might have a unique story with a unique team. You know, we all know the altcoins that, you know, have all the momentum and, you know their names. And Brian's really, really great at going out and deep diving and finding information around ones that you might not have heard of. So I wanted to kind of hand off the reins to him, thank him for coming on for this episode, and give you guys a little sample what he's all about with Altcoin Corner. And Brian has brought us a project that, you know, he's really interested in, has done a lot of work on. So Brian, what do you have for us today?
Yeah, I'm going to share the chart right here. It is called Prime, and I'm looking for my chart. Here we go. It is Prime, and it's called Echelon Prime. It is a very interesting product, and its main utility is behind this Echelon Prime Foundation. It's built to essentially fuel Web3 gaming and entire ecosystems of decentralized gaming in these economies. So it's in the world of GameFi. And when we talk about altcoins or emerging markets, personally, and this is something I talk about all the time, I do believe that gaming will absolutely take off. It is a multi-billion dollar industry, and utilizing blockchain technology and leveraging blockchain technology to reward players in the community is one of the most natural fits I could find for use cases within blockchain. And Echelon Prime, or Prime is the token, P-R-I-M-E, is one of the biggest and best out there. It has been out for years. It's essentially the main game behind Echelon Prime is a digital trading card game called Parallel. It's a sci-fi blockchain trading card games where you can really earn Prime by winning games, utilizing NFTs, entering tournaments, trading assets within the game's marketplace. If that's not your thing, if you're not huge into trading card games, I am not a big gamer, but I absolutely really love this token because of the team behind it, because of the vision behind it. And we're going to talk a little bit about the chart here and things about the chart that I really like. I am notorious for really getting interested in projects after they've had like a 60, 70% pullback, especially in the altcoin market. I know that sounds crazy to people, but you can see this grinded up all the way up to about $27 in this past March. And they had a token release and things that we knew about. And we've seen this kind of take a pretty heavy collapse down all the way to about, what is it, $7.60 today. And it really has been kind of consolidating at that price. Feels like it's found a bottom. But again, this is more of an altcoin. This is going to have violent swings compared to the macros, compared to the Bitcoins, the Ethereums, the Solanas of the world. But when we hit a bull market, when we're in price discovery of those macros, alt season starts to come back. And this happens in every cycle. This cycle is not different than any other. When it happens, it's going to be a different story. Projects like Prime are going to absolutely take off, in my opinion. A few call outs with it. It has a $271 million market cap. And now, it seems like a lot because we're in hundreds of millions of dollar market cap. But to TiVo's point, we have projects that are meme projects. Again, not even talking crap on these projects because I can make a case for this. But like Dog with Hat is a $3 billion, $2 billion market cap. Pepe is a $2 billion market cap. All they are memes with strong communities. Prime not only has this rabid community out there of gamers who utilize it, this extremely strong team, and they're shipping updates and new products literally every single week. I'm bullish that this is going to take off, and we could see it in multi-billion dollar market caps in my eyes. But kind of looking at some of these some of the details behind it, you can see the total supply of tokens. It doesn't have a crazy amount of tokens, $111 million tokens. Fully diluted market cap is a little over $800 million, so some pretty strong numbers there. If Prime hits a $1 billion market cap, I was kind of crunching the numbers, it'll be a little bit around a 3.5x move in trading, right around $25, $26. And that's right about where it would be back in its all-time highs. And I really believe that is going to happen in the future. Now, when that happens, it's going to be a little different story, because we need to see a major movement in the macro. We need to see some movement in the altcoin world. But projects like Prime, one of the first GameFi projects out there that are continuously shipping, absolutely in my eyes, could reach a $1 billion market cap. And to get even crazier, you can even argue that it could go to something like a $10 billion market cap. And at $10 billion market cap, that would be over $200 per token. Not saying it's going to get there, but there is really a story, a path I could talk about how Prime in this gaming sector could absolutely explode. And if we believe in gaming, blockchain gaming at all, projects like Prime are going to be leading the way, in my opinion. There's tons of gaming projects out there, tons of people talking about it, but Prime is one of the OG projects out there, one of the OG tokens. And then to just kind of wrap this all up, has a ton of liquidity behind it, meaning it's traded on like 10, 11, 12 different exchanges. You can buy this on Coinbase. So if you do want to exit your position in some form or fashion, there's major opportunity because there's a lot of liquidity behind it. It's traded on a lot of centralized exchanges. But kind of wrap it all up there, Prime is one of the top gaming tokens in the entire space, has seen a major correction, has a lot of rabid users, a rabid community. And as we start to get into this bull market, I do believe is going to be one of the stronger tokens out there.
Absolutely. And kind of something that I've said a lot on this show is you don't always want to be on the side of the boat where everybody else is. And the gaming sector definitely seems to be where there's not many people on that side of the boat now. So yeah, might be an interesting area to look into if that's something that you're feeling bullish on in yourself. Again, thanks for the write-up, Brian. Never personal financial advice, but we appreciate you kind of bringing all that information to you. And something I thought was interesting was the number of tokens. 1111111111.
Make it easy.
Yeah, make it easy. But that's going to wrap us up today, man. 40-minute episode. I thought we might be short, but not with Brian and I yapping your ears off today. We appreciate you guys tuning in. If you have questions, comments, please like, subscribe, leave a comment. We're happy to break down stuff that you guys are interested in. We thank you guys for spending the time with us today, and we'll see you next week.
Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details. At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.